today is, Lord, we want to meet with you. We want to see you today, Lord. Let's worship our God. Here we go.
We waited for this day. We're gathered in your name. We're calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire.
The sin of the Let's sing this part. It says, who can stop our God? Let's worship, say. And who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 One more time, say. Who can stop the Lord? Stop the Lord, oh, nothing, God, nothing, Lord, is. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And who can stop the Lord Almighty. Said you're looking for those who will worship. Here we are, here we are. You said you're searching for those who will praise you. We are here for you. Said you're looking for those who will follow. Here we are, here we are. You said you're searching for those who will bow down. We are here for you. Let's sing this chorus. We worship you, Lord. Treasure and live every word. You said you're looking for those who will worship. We are here for you.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. No, you never failed. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Yeah.
Let's sing the next verse a little higher.
It has been so good to worship with you this morning. No matter where you're worshiping today, would you join me as I pray? Well, Father God, Thank you so much for worship. Thank you for how it brings us back to you. Thank you for how it reminds us that you are a faithful and a mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for how worship helps us to remember that we're not grasshoppers, but we are giants in the land. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness to love us, to shepherd us, to watch over us, to protect us, to provide for us. You're so good, God. Thank you for reminding us of that this morning as we worshiped you. We're so grateful. God, would you bless our time in your word today? Lord, would you seal your word in our hearts with this morning's message? Would it bring us faith and encouragement and hope and all that we need from you, Lord? Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. To my CA family and to any first-time visitors and guests, we just want to say we are so honored that you've chosen to watch our service today. Today, we'll continue in our message series, Life with Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount. I hope you've been following us. It's been so good, and it's going to be great again today. Thank you also for your generosity. We're so grateful for your giving. And I know we say it a lot, but we just want to tell you thank you. We want to encourage you to continue to give online through our Christian Assembly app or our website, and you can do that by clicking on the Give tab. Well, we're so excited that today is a baptism weekend, and so here are a few stories of people whose lives have been changed by Jesus. Enjoy.
Remember, Jesus is the one who's invited you to this. CA hasn't invited you into the water. Your family hasn't invited you to the water so much as Jesus is the one to say, come and do this new life with me. And that's what baptism is all about, is you answering that invitation to new life with Jesus.
Hi, my name is Marina. In 2012, I accepted Jesus as my Savior and began to find joy and peace because I know God has forgiven the mistakes of my past. Recently in a dream, I saw myself getting ready to be baptized. And when I awoke, I sensed the Lord telling me it is time to do this. So I said, yes, of course, Lord.
Hi, my name is Ryan. Today I am getting baptized to not just be obedient, but to also proclaim my newfound commitment to God. I had been searching for a long time until through the support of a friend, I gained the confidence to seek out and discover the truth about Christ and his role in my life. This is when I decided to trust him with all my heart, mind, and soul. I cannot do anything alone, and all that I go through, whether good or bad, God uses it as a part of his perfect plan.
Hi, my name is Bianca. Before I decided to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior, my life was a mess. I was living in fear and holding on to my past. After I saw the Lord save me from a really bad situation, I decided to put my trust in him. It felt like a breath of fresh air, and I noticed I wasn't scared anymore. I was free. Since I made this decision, I have so much joy and peace knowing that he is with me every day.
My life before trusting Christ was kind of dark and confusing. There was a big gaping hole that I never knew needed to be filled. I really discovered what it meant to trust Christ alone for my salvation during fall retreat. I made a commitment and I want to keep it all my life. Since then, I've been reading the Bible more and trusting God more.
Hi, my name is Kaden. Before I decided to trust Christ, I regularly came to CA, but never really completely trusted God. I believed in him, but never read the Bible or told others about him. I felt like I was missing something. Ever since my first service at 678, I felt like I could really hear God speaking to me. Now I want to fully recommit my life to God so I can become closer to him and learn more about him. I want Christ to be the number one priority in my life.
Because of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Woo! a huge heartfelt greeting to all the CA community and to any who might be joining us online. May God richly bless you. The Bible says, put your hope in God. I've never known more timely words than those to all of us. Keep hoping and keep trusting in God Almighty. I want to begin this week's teaching time by telling you about a true historical figure who lived 300 plus years ago. His name was, if you can believe, Fudge, Captain Fudge. He was an English naval commander. He became notorious for all the impossible, outrageous stories he would tell the men under his command about his adventures on the high seas. His name was so identified with lying that whenever he began to talk, his crew would roll their eyes, and a term came into being, got coined. They would say, "Fudge, oh, fudge." His lying fame did not stay isolated, but spread all the way across the Atlantic to America. And by the 1800s, his name became a part of our English language. You would hear kids who would play marbles, and one of them trying to gain an advantage would lie or cheat, and they would call him out and say, "Hey, hey, no fudging." Well, that is still a term that is not lost on us today. We will say no fudging it, especially when it comes to records, or no fudging on your taxes. Now, a couple of questions. Who fudges? And when did fudging first begin? A study was done that showed that 2/3 of all Americans, 66 2/3% of us, we will fudge or lie without any thought at all. It's just a part of our daily routine. It's just a part of our habit. The statistics show that we are flourishing in our fudging. The Bible is true, for all have fudged and fallen short of God's glory. The first fudge can be traced back to the opening pages of our Bible. We have the creation story, and at the pinnacle point of creation, God creates living beings from the dust of the ground, and then he breathed the very life into them. And God gave them clear instructions that they could enjoy all that had been created, except for a single tree in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God comes, the Bible says, to be with with Adam and with Eve in the cool of the day, and they are hiding. Now, hiding from God, it's almost an oxymoron. It's impossible. You might turn from God, but you can't hide from God. My daughter, when she was a little girl, 2-3 years old, I played this game with her where we would sit literally in the middle of her room with the lights on, and I would throw a blanket over her head, and she would scream out with joy as I would say, "Where is Megan? Where is Megan?" Now, she thought, because she couldn't see me, that I couldn't see her. What a foolish idea that anyone would try to hide from God. So God asks Adam, he says, now, Adam, why are you hiding? Did you break my command and eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, here is his moment. He can just simply tell the truth, but he will fudge in his ownership. And what happened? And he announces, he said, well, it was her. And it was really you. Remember the other day when I was so tired, or I wasn't tired, and you made me take a nap, and I woke up, and I was married? So we find the first fudging incident in the opening pages of our Bible. This lying tendency reached epidemic proportions in Jesus' day to such an extent that it moved him to address this subject of truth-telling and commitment-keeping in the greatest sermon ever told, the Sermon on the Mount. And here we are some 2,000 years later, and could any subject be more relevant? In Jesus' day, lying was so common, it was almost like cartoons that have a bubble over someone's head with words inside. Who can you believe? So they resorted to oaths and vows in an attempt to try to convince others that, hey, I'm not fudging. Now, we do a very similar thing today. We say things like, we'll make a statement, and then we'll say, I swear to God. Or we say things like, may God strike me dead. Or, I'm not kidding, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Or the one that we can all remember as children, I cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my eye. Now, what is all this? What's it all mean? We are calling upon God to be a witness to our words and the promises that I make. And if I am not truthful, may all that is holy and divine severely punish me. May somebody come and shove sharp objects in my face and in my eyes. We use God's name to say, hey, listen, I'm credible. Listen to this verse from Numbers 30, verse 2. A man who makes a vow to the Lord or makes a pledge under oath must never break it. He must do exactly what he said he would do. Now, everyone who lies, who cheats, who fudges, the last thing they want to happen is to be backed into a corner, to be on the hot seat when it comes to truth. None more so than the religious leaders of Jesus' day who came up with truth-telling with loopholes. Here's Jesus' words from Matthew 5, 33 through 37. Follow along as I read. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say to you, do not make any vows. Do not say by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not say by earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not say by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say by my head, for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just simply say yes or no. Yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything that you say beyond this is evil. They said in Jesus' day, if you swear by God, the name of God, then you are stuck. You are now backed into a corner, and you have to be truthful and you have to be faithful to your words. But if you swear by something less than God, something that is God-ish, now you are free to be less than truthful and less than faithful to your words. Telling the truth became a game. So they would say something to someone and then say, on my honor, I swear by heaven, or I swear by earth, I swear by Jerusalem, I swear by the holy temple. And now they were free to fudge. They had created wiggle room. It took all line out of a moral realm. Now, throughout the Sermon on the Mount, we've seen throughout this series, Jesus is not wanting to create a new system of regulations, not at all. But Jesus is after the heart of the matter, the heart of any individual. Jesus said to them, I want you to stop all this fudging. Your game to lie is absurd, and it only reveals the truth about your hearts. The truth is, you are liars. The Bible says, you shall not lie. If you swear by heaven, if you swear by earth, by the temple, by Jerusalem, by one's head, meaning the life that God has given to me, what can you pick that God did not create and is not a part of? Therefore, the truth is, you are constantly profaning the name of God. Exodus 20, you must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse His name. What can you choose? What can you think of that God is not a part of? Jesus clearly states to them what not to do, but He equally is clear in what they are today to do, and He keeps it very simple. And thank God for simple men like me. He just says, if you say yes, then that's the end of the report. You must do it. No exaggeration. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And you need not to bolster the things that you say with any kind of additional oaths. It's all superfluous. Simply be a man or woman of your word. Those who have said, from this point on, I draw a line in the sand, no more fudging, they stand out like neon signs in a dark evening. They stand out of the crowd. I want to tell you about one standout person that I encountered through Sports Illustrated, of all things. He is 7 years old, and his name is Tanner, and Tanner is from Wellington, Florida. Now, Tanner loves baseball. He's a little leaguer, and his team was in postseason play, so the games really counted more than in the regular season. And Tanner was on first base. There was a runner on first base as well. And a hot ground ball was hit to Tanner at first. He got over, snagged the ball, and the runner on first hesitated, and then he took off for second base. Tanner had the presence of mind to reach out and touch the runner as he was heading to second, and the umpire with a loud voice declared, you're out of there. So his side, his team, and their fans were just cheering wildly. Well, they want play to resume, and Tanner just held the ball, throwing it in his glove. And the umpire finally went over and said, son, we need to resume play. So if you'll throw it to the pitcher, and Tanner didn't say anything. The umpire said, son, what's your name? And he said, Tanner. He says, is there a problem? And Tanner said, yes, I missed him. I didn't tag him. The umpire was somewhat caught off guard. He called the other umpires out, and they gathered just behind the pitcher's mound, and they talked together. And finally, the umpire declared safe and put the runner back on base. Now, imagine how this endeared Tanner to his team and to those peaceful, non-competitive parents who attend such games. Well, they did go on and win the game, and it's 2 weeks later. Tanner is in an even more important game, and he's at shortstop. There's runners on first and second. On this time, another hot grounder comes to Tanner, and he runs over to tag the runner going from second to third. And the umpire says he's safe. And you can see where this story is going. Tanner keeps the ball in his glove, throwing it there. The umpire, by the way, the same umpire crew. And he says, son, we need to throw the ball to the pitcher so we can resume play. And then he notices it's Tanner, and he says, Tanner, is there a problem? And Tanner said, I got him. I tagged him. So if you can imagine, the umpires gather one more time behind the pitcher mound. And then they announce in this most important game, the runner is out of there. The fans, the people are going crazy. And the umpire just simply announced, this young boy tells the truth. Tanner is a truth teller. Well, see, what God wants throughout His league is players who alone are truth tellers and commitment keepers, who stand out in the darkness of a society that thinks nothing at all of deception and dishonesty. He also wants that because we represent the God of truth, who cannot lie. He wants it for your best interest. He wants it for your relationships. You simply cannot do relationship with a person who fudges. You cannot be in relationship with a person who lies. He wants it for your own reputation, and He wants it for your own peace of mind. I'm telling you, to lie is such a sweaty job, to keep track of the things that you've said. It's such a relief when you can just reap the benefits of when your yes is yes and your no is no. You aren't built for fudging. It will catch up with you. It will show up. Now, before we conclude this week, I want to just make application in three simple ways, all right? Let's talk for a moment about casual commitments, then secondly about corporate commitments, and then finally about kingdom commitments. First, casual commitments. These are promises that we make without thought about the degree that we can follow through to those who are closest to us. Now, that's the thing. Because what's surprising is you would think that we are most ready to follow through on the things we say to those that are closest to us. But in fact, it's just the opposite. We more readily fudge to those who are closest to us. A boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, children, and even our friends. See, what happens is people get hurt, and rightly so, because words hold power, and words create expectations that are created by our casual promises. Things like, I'll pay you tomorrow. You know, one of the most embarrassing moments I've ever had in the years that I've been here at the church was, it was probably 30 years ago. And there was a local business owner right here in Eagle Rock who I didn't know who it was, but it was on my appointment schedule. And he came in and introduced himself, told me what he did. And he said, I came to visit your church this weekend, and I just wanted to see what you teach these people. I wanted to find out. And I said, well, why are you asking? And then he gave me the names of three individuals, all who I knew. And he said, I have rendered services for them for months without payment. I've tried to reach them, and they will not return my calls. Oh, they promised that they would pay. And he went on to tell me how extensively he had gone out of his way to serve them in really sacrificial ways. And he just said, I came to see what you teach these people and what this church is all about. Well, people get hurt, and rightly so, because of these kinds of things. I'll pay you tomorrow. I'll return it quickly. Ah, baby, I'll love you more in the morning. The check's in the mail. I'll call you. I'll be praying for you. And can I just say a word on behalf of all the children? Kids are easily bruised. Kids can be permanently wounded by casual commitments that parents make. They are just trusting enough to believe you. And when you fudge on the little things, they learn to not only not believe you, but they start to fudge with you, because fudging is generational. Fudging is learned. Lying gets passed down. See, what we must remember is that God is present every time you open your mouth. God is present in every casual commitment that you make, and He expects that your yes will be your yes. People get so disappointed, and relationships get strained and even broken. So I want to suggest to you maybe two things. If maybe even in this moment, God's Spirit is at work, or maybe it's as you reflect on this week's teaching, if a fudging incident comes to mind, something that you have promised a person and not followed through on, you before next weekend, you call them and apologize and make that right. And then a second thing when it comes to casual commitments, maybe we could all renew ourselves in this pattern of pressing pause and doing a word review. The book of Proverbs just says it straight out. Your words hold power, such power that they create life and they create death. In fact, quite often, when I go to bed, I will do a word review of the things that I said that day. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. And then secondly, our corporate commitments. And by this, I mean the workplace. Now, there's two sides of this. The first is, how many of you are employed by someone? You work for someone. The second side is those who have created a business and all the risk the weight of that business falls on them. First of all, to any of you who are employees, you owe a full day's labor for a full day's wage. You know, there can be sort of a very evil thing among those who work, and it can be just this: how little can I do for, and how much can I get for it? Don't be someone who works hard only when the boss is looking, but be a person. In fact, that was so tested during this season of COVID, as office buildings were shut down and people had to stay home and work. Have you given your company and your boss the very best that you've got? And then a word to all of those who are employers. Be good to those that you employ. Don't try to get the most from them for the least amount of pay, but take care of them the best that you can. And be honest with your expense accounts. It's so easy for a business operator to rationalize, but you don't understand. Everybody in my industry does it this way. All my competitors cut corners, and compromise on promises is just the way of my business. There are so many gray areas when it comes to truth-telling in the workplace. Colossians says, work as though you are working heartily unto the Lord. In fact, some might even seek an accountability partner when it comes to your corporate commitments. And then third and finally would be kingdom commitments. Your highest commitment is to seek first, Matthew 6, we will come to it. Seek first the kingdom of our God, His ways and His purposes, and then all these things will be added to you. I just want to ask you, your commitment to follow Jesus, do you do that expressed through your life in the Scriptures? You simply cannot be, as Tom used the term, a kingdom-ready disciple without a steady involvement in God's Word. Have you been prayerful? Have you been joining us in this 3-week fast? Are you faithful in your giving, in the sharing of your faith? And thank God, Christian Assembly, there's no church like you, I'm telling you. No church like you. I think of course, we've not been able to do it during this COVID season, but we have 400 or 500 little kids that come on our campus each weekend when we will be back to meeting. We could not do that without literally dozens and dozens and dozens of people who serve on a regular basis. To those who pastor our church, shepherd us through life groups, thank you for the way that you do that. For those who park us and pew us and work in our thrive and recovery, and it goes on and on and on. It would be impossible to do that without those commitments being followed through on. Listen to this final scripture from Hebrews 6. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. You represent the Savior. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Aren't you glad that you serve a God who never fudges? God's commitment to us is always yes and amen. What a God we serve. Would you consider this week your words, and that you become a man or woman who just your yes is your yes and your no is your no, and nothing else has to be added. No one has to wonder, can we trust them? Can we follow through on their word? It is yes and amen. God bless you guys. Let's pray together as we close. In the name of our God, whose promise and oath will never change. What a God, our God who never lies. Lord, I was pierced as I prepared these words because I realized how easy it is for me to fudge without any thought at all. But Lord, I pledge to clean up those areas. I pray that will be true for all the Christian Assembly community. And Lord, thank you that you're a God who has given yourself to us. Thank you that you give us the power of your Spirit that is ever at work in us, making us kingdom-ready disciples. We give ourselves, our hearts, our lives, and our words to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, CA.
For your glory, for your kingdom, for your name, O Lord, here I am. For your glory, for your kingdom, for your name, O Lord, here I am. Sing it with us, let's sing. For your glory, for your kingdom, for your name, O Lord, here I am. For your glory, for your kingdom, for your name, O Lord, here I am. Let's sing that verse. Like this, to you.
Thank you so much for being with us today. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or you'd like to know more about what it means to follow him, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you and so that we can be praying for you. You can email us at the address below or text the word decision to the number 52855. Lastly, don't forget to follow us and stay in the know with our CA socials and our Christian Assembly LA app. And now let me close with this benediction from 2 Peter. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next time.